It's a daily talk show, everyone.
Happy 61st episode. 61st episode. And also, my 2 years anniversary since I proposed to my wife, Amy. My now wife, Amy.
And your... Sorry, I'm just eating some chocolate.
Yeah. You sound like you just came back from the dentist.
So you're just spending it with me.
Yeah. We're recording this episode and it's currently...
10 past 7 PM.
I'm going to go home and see her. So I made a video.
You're making out like that's a treat. I'm going to go home and see her. That's where you live.
No, it's a treat though. It's nice if it's a treat that I get to go home and see her.
Yeah, that'd be...
It'd be more of a... It's like, Josh, can I sleep here tonight? Because it's a pain going home. That would be bad.
As an adult, have you had many cases where friends will just stay at your place?
Nah. Nah.
We had it happen once. I think it was exciting. It was probably like 4 years ago.
See, you don't have pisshead friends. Or you don't, you're not amongst the pissheads. Because that's when it happens, right? You get pissed and you can't drive home, so I'll just crash on the couch.
Yeah, well, we had friends over the other day and we actually drank some wine, some red wine.
So, fucking letting loose, Joshy boy.
Had some Pinot, had some Shiraz.
Now, do you know the difference between Pinot and Shiraz?
Yeah, Shiraz.
Just to your taste buds.
Yeah, sort of very, very dark, sort of good with meats. Really sort of almost like... meat stock.
See, the thing is, you know this because you absorb everything. No. You probably heard this at some sort of like wine test tasting you out. Maybe. That you went
I don't remember this shit, but I don't know why, but this is stuck. And then Pinot is a little bit lighter, a bit fruitier. Mm.
It's the milk chocolate and the Shiraz is the dark chocolate.
Yes.
So you're using a chocolate analogy.
Well, I think if you're using a chocolate analogy, potentially the Pinot is a 70%. A Shiraz is like an 85.
Okay.
And then you've got a rosé, which would be milk, with a bit of extra flavour, a bit of bubbles.
Oh, they're not even the same. Yeah, true. I like the keeping all the actual reds in the dark same. Chocolate category. Yeah. And then
you got like a Sauvignon Blanc.
Sauvignon Blanc. It's a little white chocolate.
Yeah. Because Blanc means white.
There you go.
I think.
But white wine isn't white. It's like fucking bit yellow.
I mean, it's very confusing, isn't it?
Your parents are still together.
Yep.
My parents are still together. Uh-huh. They've been going strong. It's so we can't talk about divorce, really, which is what I was getting at.
Yeah, so you're using your 2 year mark of engagement to talk about...
2 year? No, we've been married. This is just the engaged. And the reason I knew it was the only reason I knew that we got engaged today was Facebook
memories. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, a photo of Amy holding up her ring.
Oh, that's nice. Did she remember, or did you say
her finger ring? Not her. No, I remembered it, and then I messaged her and said, "Happy anniversary of our engagement." And I made a video. We've talked about on this podcast where I got her to redub the bit where she says,
"You ADR'd
I do."
Yeah, because you didn't have clear audio.
Yeah, and you gave me
the suggestion.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Which was good. And you've just posted the video onto LinkedIn because...
it's a bit of a test.
Hashtag, well, it's not. It's just all for hashtag all for content. I said that I wanted you to put the text with the video to be... Has anyone else gotten engaged just for content?
And I decided not to go with that.
So you've already got people. Oh, no, you've got... Enough. Congratulations. Congratulate Anthony on his 8 years.
What was I getting at? The divorce.
I know, you told me that if I had all this dark chocolate, it was going to pep me up and look at me.
Yeah, true. Josh has been a bit flat before today's episode.
No, I think...
Energy-wise.
Yeah. It's a flat. Well, what's the other type of flat?
I don't know. Flat like sad.
Oh, you could sure.
You could, like your
still
mood.
An energy, I think.
Yeah, energy. You're just energy flat.
I think I was doing a... I was going to edit and surprise you with the highlights package of the Daily Talk Show. And so I just went through and I, because I've got all the original files. Yeah. And then I realized once I got to episode two, there was just no way of doing it.
Josh, this is, are you getting the same pleasure out of if you finished it and you were telling me that you literally just made this, yeah, and showing me?
I gave it a go. But then the reason I bring it up is because my tone was like this throughout the whole thing.
Oh, episode one.
Yeah. So the note-taking still going strong, still doing that.
From yesterday's. We spent nearly a whole episode talking about fucking note-taking.
Yeah. Is that a criticism?
Well, we can't back it up today with the second app.
Okay, well, how about this? I see this Frankie magazine that's just here.
It's quite nice.
Yeah, so what would you pay for it without looking at the price tag?
I couldn't tell you the last time I bought a magazine. What I think you'd probably pay for it is $14.99.
Okay, so I saw it. It grabbed my attention, and then I looked at the price tag, and there was a bunch of these magazines of Frankie all sort of piled up, and it was $4.95.
How the fuck do they make any money?
Well, so this is the thing. They wouldn't, because that wasn't the right price. But there was another shitty magazine that was meant to be there. And so for whatever reason, I was like, well, that was interesting, because I then saw Frankie on the other side of the stand on another sort of pay area. And it was $15.
Okay. So I was spot on the money. That, yes, it is $15. And but so did you get it for $5?
Yes.
And so you told them that it was in
the
section.
So I said to the guy, hey, it's coming out. Like, it says that it's it was actually said $4.50, but I fucked up and I said $4.95. And then he scanned it through. He's like, oh, no, that's not right. And then he's like, someone's done all this wrong. Oh, he's like, trying to fix them all up. He's like, oh, look, I'll so sorry about this. I'll put it through as $4.95 for you.
Okay. I remember there used to be, I don't know if it was a rule, but it was always like if a clothing had the wrong tag on it, you'd have to pay, you get to pay what that tag says.
Yeah. Which feels like it sets themselves up for like fraud.
100%. I remember being a little punk ass kid who saw on a expensive thing of meat. I found next on a cheap piece of meat a sticker, pulled that off, whacked it onto the expensive piece of meat.
Yeah, well, that's just stealing, isn't it? Well, but, you were a punk kid.
It's a punk kid, something a punk kid would do.
For meat,
I never do that now.
With protein,
I think it's for chops. Chops are always a bit fucking expensive.
PO box update, got something in the PO
box.
Did
you?
Well, it was something that I ordered online. I don't know if I mentioned my jerky.
Yes, yes, yes.
On the podcast?
He bought 20 packs of jerky.
Yeah, half price.
Which is still $6 a packet. It's a lot.
Well, the only time I've ever bought jerky was in the at like an airport.
And they overpriced the shit out of it.
Yeah, or like a maybe like a pet, like a gas station in the US where it's like, oh, I want something a little bit healthy.
And they're in, they're not in packets? Over there, like, have you seen in the States they've got like jars?
I haven't seen that.
So like servos, at the service stations there was like jars at the front that had jerky. You just lift it up.
Well, no, you know what I do remember of the gas stations is the clusterfuck that is the paying by card. Did you have this issue? Our international credit cards can't be used at the gas station. So normally,
nah.
Yeah, so you normally pay at the fucking Bowser, yeah?
Yeah.
But it doesn't work.
Oh, I see.
And so the thing is, you can't do it. They need you to put in the credit card. You then fill up the petrol. Yeah. So they make you have to go in. You have to then guess how much, pay it, fucking fill it up and hope it's close.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a clusterfuck.
I think I do remember having to pay first the amount and then go out and fill it up to that amount.
Yeah. Have you ever gotten a real bargain? So obviously this Frankie magazine was a real fucking bargain. Have you ever taken advantage?
Yeah, it was the bargain of putting the cheap.
Well, Bree was
sticker.
Like, it's a bit, it's an interesting mag for you to buy.
Why? Because it's pink?
Yeah, it's all very female focused.
I think you bought it for the aesthetics of it, not the actual content of it.
No,
I Why are you buying a magazine anyway?
I know, as a minimalist. no, I just thought it just a bit of inspo, bit of aesthetic.
Have inspo. You got any inspo?
Haven't opened it yet, but I will. But I, do you know what the thing that's been taking up most of my brain
yes.
in the last few days? Trying to work out what to bring when we travel.
We spoke about this. Weren't you making a list on yesterday's podcast?
What was the... Oh, did I literally put together a list?
No, you said you were working it out.
That was more of the notepad type stuff.
Working out what you're going to bring. I think you're overthinking the whole travel thing. It's easy when I'm not going traveling. But I've overthought every time I've gone and been so pissed off that I've taken an extra suitcase worth of shit.
But so that's the thing. That's because you overthought and put too much stuff. What I've been thinking is I don't want to take anything that's unnecessary.
I think you need to go away feeling anxious that you have fucking nothing.
Well, I think that that's what I want to try and do, have absolutely nothing on the trip. But I need, as content creators, it's a little bit trickier.
With camera gear.
Yeah, because it's like, yeah. Okay, what do I, from a lens point of view, what do I take? What cameras do I take? Do I just, I guess I just take the 1DX?
Mate. I think now, traveling with camera gear, what's the one camera you actually use the most? It's the FS7, but that's the size of your head.
Yeah, I mean the iPhone, if that's what you were getting at. Like, I mean, I use my iPhone for photos a lot.
You saw I pumped out 7 videos while I was away for 4 weeks.
Yeah. Was that on the Osmo?
I used the Osmo. Because it gave me like that Steadicam look.
Are you about to describe like 4 different cameras that you used?
No, I used the Osmo and my G7X.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the thing I checked in my pocket.
Yeah.
And then the one that I had like a little, it's like a little, looks like a mini ukulele in a little
has that
camera
sort of vibe.
Box. It's cool. And anyway, I use that, but I wouldn't take that away again, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
But you just one camera that you'll use more. Because what will you do with it?
Well, so what Bree and I try to work out is obviously how much we want to work while we're away. And also how much we might, if we're in some fucking cool, if we end up like making pizzas and shit in some fucking cool part of Italy.
You're Sony,
it'd be awesome to have
camera.
Like slow, but yeah, but there's that bit where it's like, fuck, it'd be cool to do something super cinematic and super beautiful.
You can make it look pretty good. What about you go away and the whole trip is you seeing how cinematic you can get a fucking Sony RX 1000?
Well, I feel like that's the advice that I'd give someone who's just getting started. But there's that part of me which is like, oh, I've been there. I don't like, I don't know. Maybe it's a good limitation.
I think it is. I think working to what it is. Because I made some seriously good footage out of the seriously low-end cameras.
Do you think you'd find it hard to do now, though, going back with everything you're using, or no?
Oh, no, I'd buy a new camera now, but I'd just be an RX100. That G7X is out of date now.
Yeah.
I bought it as I was going through duty-free.
Uh-huh.
Thought, oh, duty-free. And then I realised I put it on my business so I don't actually get the GST back from it.
Yeah.
So I should have just bought it.
You fucked it.
But seriously, just don't overthink it. It's a holiday.
Mm.
Think, yeah.
Well, I think that's the thing. I think we're trying to work out how much of it is a holiday. We're sort of communicating it as a work / holiday.
Well, unless you're making money while you're over there.
Well, it's work in the sense of working on our craft. So making stories. So maybe my one story up series that I did, you know, the episode with Christian Hull. Maybe we try and do 5 of them while we're away.
I had a conversation about a friend of mine. I said to him, "What do you think you should? Do you think you?" Or say, "Why? Why is it? Isn't it that you?" I said, "Why don't you create content for your business? Like, is there a reason?" And it was around
what sort of business does he have?
Video production.
Yeah,
like personal content.
Yeah,
and it was all around what he was saying to me. Sorry, that fucking typing's. Can you hear that typing?
Nah, you can't hear
you
it.
Don't you reckon
there.
You can hear it?
Nah, it's fine.
I kept thinking about it. You know when you Bree's start just thinking about a sound?
In the background typing. Nah, it's. I'm
well, she's
not
actually
it.
Lowered the sound of her tapping. It's amazing. She's turned down the volume of her taps.
Appreciate
anyway.
It. I feel like Bree hasn't heard an episode lately, and she thinks that this. I feel like this has been a boring as fuck episode so far. I don't think
because you brought up notepads and
I've got fucking
working
nothing.
Out what to put in your backpack while
got,
you travel.
I like feel hot. Look how much I'm sweating.
I can't see the sweat.
So anyway, you're speaking to a
yeah, and he was saying I liked it. Basically, the essence of our conversation was all around him wanting to make sure it's high production value to put it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, was there a limitation to that for you around it being, you know, shot by a bunch of different people, directors and writing scripts? And I mean, what you could relay from that is what you're saying. It's
yeah.
Like maybe you just try something because I think you could create some seriously epic looking shit with devices because you know how to use camera and work them to their full capacity.
Yeah, I just think that it's a... you know, you get to a point where you could definitely do that. But I guess it's working out where you want to play in. Like, what can you... If you're going to spend the time... Mm. So, if I spend all this time capturing content, maybe I'm better off using... Like, maybe it makes sense for me to use the best thing that I have in the sense of, like, bringing something that's really, really good and doing a good job of it rather than, like... I think that what it would do is it would, like, for instance, if we see good, like, amazing stories and I capture this great story, I feel like I'd always have that anxiety of, like, I wish that I gave this the respect of my full craft, which is, you know, amazing cinematography, which equipment does come into that, right?
Mm.
Do you agree?
Well, for
no?
story, I think, look at what does well online. And if your mission is to tell a story and make and have it connect with people, I don't know if it is all about that. And I know that you could easily look, no, we need the equipment. It's like, but there are plenty of people making massive impact.
Yeah, definitely. But I don't know if that's the reason of their impact. It's they have success despite their lack of production value, potentially.
Then what is it? It's the story. Then so it's
yeah,
like
absolutely. So,
so
what
you,
my
if you were to not use gear as technical as you do, whatever. If you weren't to use the big cameras you do, and you were to focus on the story and use whatever, just easy basic shit, would that mean that you tell more stories?
Yeah. Well, so I think this is the thing, right? And this comes down to lean filmmaking. Which a friend of mine, Kylie Eddy, has sort of really built out and she's writing a book on at the moment. But it's the, yeah, that idea of, you know, quick iterations and making stuff. And so for me, I actually do lean productions, right? You think about like compared to a lot of filmmakers, I actually use way less gear than a lot of them already, right? But now I think definitely it does get harder and harder to say, okay, well, if I have this level of storytelling through this, it is hard to fucking dial it back. I completely agree with what you're saying. The best camera you have is the one on you. But what happens if you have the option of bringing whatever camera you want? Then you have to work out, okay, how more uncomfortable is it going to be for me to carry a bigger camera than a smaller camera?
Horrible around Europe. It makes me hot and anxious thinking about you walking through the streets of Italy with 20 kilos of filming gear, which you'll use twice.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I did it. I took that fucking... I took a 70D with a couple of lenses and a GoPro. Like, it fucking pissed me off.
Yeah.
So annoying. I had this uncomfortable backpack. Plus our other suitcase. It was just horrible.
You're going to Bali soon?
Yes. Yeah, I've got to go to a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to Bali for 9 days to enjoy ourselves. I'm going to take so little.
Yeah. Is the whole Bali wedding thing, you've been to one before?
Yeah.
What's the deal? Like, is it... Is it super? Is it a lot cheaper doing it that way?
You get a bit more bang for your buck. It's definitely in, I don't know where you can match those kind of venues in Australia.
What's the pros and cons for doing an overseas wedding, do you think?
Shitting yourself because you've drank the water.
So that's the con?
Yeah. cheaper. You can definitely get more for your money.
Yeah.
Spend $20,000 here versus $20,000 there.
How does it change the dynamic of the whole experience, do you think?
It definitely brings people together. Like, actually having people travel.
You have to all
traveled.
Get along and stuff because you're going to be spending all this time together. And
I think one of the con is thinking that you need to hang out with all these people.
Yeah.
It's a bit different now that I've got a family. It's like, we could be off doing our own thing. We'll come to the wedding and then we're going off to do our own thing. But when you're there with like your fam, like for my brother's wedding, there was very much more of, I didn't really have any alone time.
Mm-hmm.
We were around everyone constantly. And then that was friends and family. But dude, being with 30 people at a fucking night spot, like in like Potato Head, where I met Amy, my wife.
Yeah.
I met her on that trip for my brother's wedding. Like having this amazing, like all your best friends overseas, it's just a different vibe. It's just, yeah, sure. It's not like you just met, oh, I bumped into them down the pub.
Yeah.
It's like you're in this other country and we
don't know
we
who I'd invite.
Well, my brother said, oh, I reckon we won't get that many people, but they invited just as many people as they would if they had one here in Australia.
Yeah.
And fuck, they got a lot of people yeah. saying yes.
Good excuse. And so what's the protocol? What do they pay for? They pay for food and shit. They pay for like per head.
Yeah, I think.
And then people pay for their flights and a comm and all that sort of shit.
Yeah.
Maybe if you're a groomsman or something, they might fucking flick you some a comm or not even that.
Oh, so my brother, I chipped in for our, we chipped in a small amount. It's different for everyone, yeah. whatever your position is financially. Yeah. I paid maybe $250 for some accommodation.
Yeah.
There was two nights around the wedding.
Yeah.
Night before the wedding, night of the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And that just helped them out. I think because we had a sick villa. But we stayed. Oh, my fucking God. Our friends had a $5,000 villa.
Mm-hmm.
A night.
Very cheap. Oh, okay.
five grand a night? Oh, my God. Had his own private chef.
Yeah.
And
it had its own private
on a cliff.
Fuck.
The house, when you walk through it, there was like, you were walking above water. It was like, oh my fucking God. It's called Alila. Alila Villas.
I like how you say that.
Alila. It's crazy. It was the best thing ever. Slept on this bed, would have had 70,000 sheet count, three count.
I mean, thread counts. I feel like I watched a doco the other day which said they're all bullshit. But travel agents and doing all of this stuff. When was the last time you used a travel agent? Nah.
I don't think I've ever used one.
I
used one. A friend of mine's dad, I used him to go to America. And I got super, he got us cheap flights. Tell you that much. United, Melbourne, LA, New York, Vegas, LA, Melbourne for $1,700.
That's really good. I mean, it's on fucking United, which I hate. I've actually never gone United, but were they okay?
Well, yeah, we had a good one.
Well, I was thinking about trying something different. I wanted to get your thoughts on it, whether you think it's a waste of time and money. Using a service like Upwork. You know, Upwork's used for, graphic designers. I've used it for motion graphics people, that sort of thing. Hire a virtual assistant that's based in wherever we're staying. For instance, Italy. You know, we're spending some time in Italy. They'll cost $25 an hour and get them to organize some stuff for us locally.
To do what? What kind of
stuff?
That's
the bit that I haven't worked out.
But what could it be?
So basically saying, okay, we want to go to this, we want to spend X amount of time in Sorrento, find out these book us restaurants and stuff. As I describe it, it's a waste of time.
Man, do you know how we found restaurants?
Just walk around.
No, like just ask people. Yeah. So we're on the train going from fucking, I don't know, Pisa or something to Sorrento. And we met this girl She just said, "Oh, I'm just coming back. I've been there for a month."
Was she Australian?
You got to go to this place. It's next to this bag store. You'll see it. It's called this. And then we fucking stumbled upon it. It was the best. And then we asked this other person where, and I'll tell you this place in Sorrento.
Yeah, so like we don't have to speak
seafood
to anyone.
Seafood restaurant on the
water.
I don't
really like seafood that much.
I don't give a shit. Eat fucking, when you're there, you've never tasted it. You've never tasted freshness like seafood in Italy. Like seafood pastas.
More than delish fish in Port Melbourne.
Seafood pastas, I'm meaning. Not just a piece of fish.
What do you do? What annoys me about seafood pastas is the shells.
Well, yeah, because you got to eat around it.
It's so fucking annoying. It's half the dish.
I think, what are you going to eat then? A piece of pizza?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. What did you, what do you, every place you went to, I want to know what were you eating? So like.
Greece?
Yeah, Greece. What?
Souvlakis.
What sort? What? Because they don't do lamb that much,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, did I tell you that?
Mum did.
Has she been there?
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't. I was pissed off. And she probably was like.
I just want a lamb souvlaki like they do at Delish Fish.
Well, I look like probably some fucking asshole tourist that said to them, "Oh, I just want like, you know, the traditional one, the lamb one." And they're like, "We do lamb like once a year, buddy. Easter."
Yeah, really?
Well,
why Easter? Why on
I think
Easter?
The Greeks get together and do some big Easter. It's like a, I don't know why. There's some sort of.
So it was. Is it pork? Is that the one that everyone's
they
doing?
Do a lot of pork.
Yeah,
pork and beef. But
okay, so souvlakis.
Souvlakis
better in Greece than in Melbourne. You reckon?
I actually prefer them in Melbourne.
Okay,
there's some like Melbourne. Melbourne has some seriously fucking great food.
It's true.
Bree
said a line the other day. I pulled her up on it. She was speaking to a relative. Is that my phone vibrating or is
mine.
That yours?
Amy.
Around Asian.
Bree just got the signal. Bree just gave us a signal. You can't tell that story.
Okay.
I like that. That's good.
This is
You've just been tapped out of a story.
It's true.
Fuck, I so want to know the story. What did Bree say?
You'll never know.
Oh,
it was pretty low level.
Italy, the thing with Italy is you eat pizza for a couple of days and you're fucked. You feel indigestion, like you feel like this.
You're sort of holding your throat.
You know like, when you've been eating too much carbs and you actually feel... You feel like acidic.
Yeah, that's like my life.
So that's what you're fucked.
Well, no, so I think what I'll probably do: Italy, cheeses, salamis, all of that shit. Just go fucking bit keto.
That's what will send you feeling like that too. I think
I'll feel a bit cloggy, maybe.
Bit clogged up.
I won't
up.
Be able to shit.
The good thing is you can go to delis and actually just get like a pide made up fresh from the deli. Pide.
What is that?
It's just like a, you know, the roll. It's like a roll or like a
this
panini. Panini.
Panini. Okay.
Panini. Yeah. So good.
Yeah.
And then Spain, the food was very salty for me from what I had. Like they just seemed to put, and we ate at some nice restaurants. So salty. I think coming from Australia, we're so fucking spoiled here with the consistency of like, you know, salads and just fresh produce.
Yeah. I had a mate in Barcelona. He's American.
Die of salt? Salt?
No, but he complained at a McDonald's because his quarter pounder was dry. He said like, nah, man, this isn't how you make them.
That's what I did. That's what I have done though. I've eaten Macca's in most places I've gone to around the world.
Yeah, you got to give it a bit of a try.
Well, I did it. Oh, here's one. America.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, they've given us a fucking cheeseburger for free here.
What do you mean?
Oh, I ordered a cheeseburger meal.
And you weren't happy?
No, I got two cheeseburgers. They have like a thing where it comes with two cheeseburgers.
That's a standard fucking America.
It had there was a standard one. We got that and I was like, fuck, they liked us. And then I looked up. It's like... No, it comes with two cheeseburgers, chips and drink.
Fuck, that does remind me. Bree and I were staying at a hotel the other day And I'm just waiting to whether I get the fucking signal where I can't tell the story. But she knew that general manager was saying her name, Soph.
Hang on.
And
she's just okay, thumbs up. I can say it.
Okay. And then I didn't hear what Bree just said.
She just said, don't say the hotel's name. Yeah, so.
And I've changed the person's name to Soph.
Okay.
We're staying at a hotel and Bree knew the general manager. And when we got there, Bree's like, oh, Soph has given us an upgrade. Oh, Soph. Like, she was really...
Yeah.
And then they were showing us around the room and there was like a champagne in our room for us. Just like, oh, Soph has just gone, you know, above and beyond. Anyway, we were at a dinner. And we booked a dinner through Soph at the hotel restaurant. And the guy said, oh, you were at the chef's table. That's the best table in the house. Here, just come this way.
La.
And they said, look, just to start off the night, we'll give you something special. We got some snacks, complimentary, to enjoy. And Bree's just like, fuck, Soph has looked after us so much. This is ridiculous. And then we look around, everyone else is fucking getting the same free snacks. And so there was this ongoing thing where she kept saying it. And it came to a head when we were leaving the hotel and we bump into Soph. We weren't expecting to see Soph there. And Bree's like, oh, thank you so much, Soph. Actually, I've got you a little gift just as a thank you. And Soph's like, why? I haven't done anything. I'm like, yeah, Bree, I told you. She fucking hasn't done anything. We're just at this hotel and this is how they roll.
Fuck.
So that made me laugh a lot.
Soph's a piece of shit.
Yeah, Soph didn't fucking look at... Well,
Soph
hopefully
did fuck all for you.
Hopefully next time Soph will look after us. Everyone, it's been a very fucking tired... Daily talk show. What are we going to call this app? Maybe it's a bit fucking boring. Low energy.
Yeah, low energy. Low energy.
It's got low energy and nothing to say. I think that might be it.
Everyone will listen to that.
Don't review us if you've just listened to this one. Go back and find
yesterday
else.
We were talking about like holding on to stuff that you've had for a long time. For instance, my mum's got a whole bunch of stuff from her childhood, my childhood at our family home.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote to me today, re-ep 60, that's it. I'm throwing everything out.
Great.
And then did like a funny face and a wink face.
Oh.
I said, if you didn't tell me, I wouldn't be sad. But now that I know you're throwing it out, I feel sad.
Just keep it all.
She said, then I won't do it then. So we still got it. That's but nice. That was the whole point yesterday was like, I think we project this sadness that makes people just never be minimal. In there,
yeah,
because
they're like,
of stuff.
Yeah, all the emotion that's attached to the objects.
All right, love you guys.
Thanks. Have a good one. Bye. I can't even fucking work out. Turn the thing
off. The red button.
No, it's not the fucking red button.
Press the red button.
I'm doing the stop button. Bye.